committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So her guilt is without question, and her accusers are many. Is that not true? You can find a whole lot of self-righteous Pharisees that will accuse others of not doing right. We are not talking about gossip here. We're not talking about hearsay. This woman was caught in the very act. This woman is in what? She's in big trouble. And you know what? She knows she's in big trouble. Everyone there knew that she was in big trouble, and everyone knew adultery was and is a serious crime. Could I say something? In 2015, adultery in the eyes of God is still a serious sin against the holy God. Could you say amen? It's not just a sin against God. It's a sin against your own flesh. It's a sin against your mate. Say amen right there. It's a sin against society. But we're living in such a lascivious, wicked, sensual generation. People think shacking up. People think committing adultery. People think premarital sex is just the norm and it's okay. Well, it's not okay in the eyes of God. It's a sin, and the wages of sin is death. We expect you boys to keep your distance from the girls. I don't care how old or young you are. We expect you girls to keep your distance, and we expect you to keep your hands to yourself. Say amen right there. We don't expect you following anybody around, leering at them or anything like that. We are God's children, and we're going to rise above that by the grace of God. That's good preaching, even if I'm doing it. Amen. Amen. But I want you to notice, these people don't care about that woman. They're not trying to rehabilitate her. They're not trying to be a blessing to her. They don't care nothing about her. They don't really care nothing about her sin. They don't really care about the society or the community being cleansed of sin. These religious hypocrites. You know, a religious feast is going on at this time, according to the Bible. You know what? Religion doesn't save you. Religion doesn't help you. Religion doesn't forgive you. Religion doesn't change people's lives. I'll tell you what this world does not need is religion. I believe more people are going to hell on quote-unquote religion. I don't care what kind of religion it is. It can be Catholic religion. It can be Baptist religion. It can be Muslim religion. Say amen right there. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. He's the only one. What you need is a Savior. Need us. Well, all these people cared about was destroying the Lord. The whole motive behind this thing is to try to trip up the Lord and try to mess him up. They don't care about that woman. Boy, I'm telling you, if there was ever a need for God's mercy to be understood and experienced, it was then in that woman's life. Can I say, just as it is now in our life and in sinners' life. Guys, the world is abounding in sin. We're getting closer and closer every day to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sin is going over the boundary. Sin is just being accepted. I'm telling you, I'm 66. And when I was brought up, even in a Roman Catholic family, when I was brought up, I mean, adultery was wicked. Shacking up was wicked. I mean, fornication and premarital sex was wicked. Sodomy was wicked. Are y'all with me? And today, that stuff is being accepted into our society. And then they turn to people like us who believe the Bible and are against it and say, you people are the problems in America. No, sin is the problem in America. And I'm telling you, sin is the problem in a lot of churches today. And so what we need is we need the mercy of God. I looked up in the old dictionary the word mercy. Bear with me. I know you're not watching your TV, but try to bear with me and follow along. Mercy, according to the old 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Aren't you glad God had mercy on you? Can I ask you something? When's the last time you had mercy on somebody else? Second definition, the disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. Then it goes on and says, in this sense, this is the old dictionary, in this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That was Noah Webster. Said you can't hardly use another word to describe mercy. He said, but that which comes closest to it is grace. Mercy, this was the last definition. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. Talking about God Almighty. You said, preacher, what is that? Here, let me get it down into words that we can understand. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Hey, listen. Everyone, very well, some of you I just met this morning, telling you each and every one of us deserve to go to hell and burn in the lake of fire for all time and eternity. For all have sinned and short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, I'm telling you, you're looking at a Baptist preacher that's going to heaven when he dies. I don't hope I'm going. I don't wish I'm going. I'm not working on going. I am going because March 20th, 1975, I got born again by the Holy Ghost of God. I got saved, and the mercy of God, the blood of Jesus, washed away my sins. I'm not getting what I deserve. I deserve to go straight to hell. This morning, I deserve to go straight to hell, but I'm not getting what I deserve. Because of the mercy of God, I'm going to heaven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's mercy. That's not it. If we get what we deserve since we've been saved, messing around with the world, caving into that flesh, going down a pathway we shouldn't have gone down, not having mercy on somebody else. But God's mercy just extends to us all the time. We must understand in light of the law of God, even without the law, God's mercy has no meaning. If there was no law, you would not know, thou shalt not steal. Are y'all with me? But the law shows us our condemnation because we have fallen short of the glory of God. Buddy, you see that law, you understand that mercy of God. Because according to the law, we all deserve to die and go to hell. We need to understand the holiness and the justice of Almighty God. God's a holy man. Listen to me, God is not an old man upstairs. God is not a smiley face as a bumper sticker on your bumper. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God had no beginning, he's eternal. God will have no end. God is almighty. God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. And his justice demands payment for sin. I'll tell you, God being God and sovereign doesn't answer. Sovereign. He doesn't have to pay you no mind because he's almighty God. That Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What I'm talking about is that God loved you and I long before we ever got saved, long before we ever even thought about doing something for the glory of God. He loved us, and he wanted to have mercy on us. Part of the attributes of a holy God is mercy. In spite of the fact that he's just and he's holy and he must punish sin, that's why he gave his only begotten Son. Hey, Christ came into the world to die for sinners. He didn't come into the world to teach a better way. He didn't come into the world just to do some miracles. He came into the world, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. David said, for his mercy endureth forever. This woman of John chapter 8 that was taken in adultery according to the law of God, she deserved to be stoned. She deserved to die for her crime. She deserved to die for her sin. And may I say something? If you go back and look in the history of America, back in the 40s, adultery was against the law. If you were caught in adultery, you were arrested, you were fingerprinted, you were mugshot, and you were put into jail, and you were tried as an offender of the law. That's because America used to be a Christian nation. Amen. But not any longer. She had sinned against God. She had sinned against her family. She had sinned against her husband. She had sinned against that man's family. She had sinned against society. And as sinners, we all have sinned against God. So the good question, why does God show mercy? Why? Why should he look down on worms like us? Why should he give his only begotten son? You notice what the Lord does when those Pharisees asked? Did you notice what he did? Ignored them. You know, there's some people you just need to ignore. Stupid, foolish questions they ask. Amen? Just ignore them. No one there, even the disciples, quite understood the reason for God's mercy, nor the power of God's mercy. Those Pharisees, the legalists, they know anything about mercy? All they know is about is just judgment. That's all they know. They didn't know anything about mercy. You know what else? They never experienced mercy. You know, when you experience mercy, you are more apt to show mercy. They never experienced. That woman taken in adultery, she knew no... What did she expect? She expected to die, Anna. She was caught. They wrapped her up. They dragged her to the Lord. She's just waiting for the sentence to be pronounced and dragged out to the pit and be stoned. That's what she expected. But what's the reason for God's mercy? His mercy isn't about destruction. The Lord Jesus isn't about destroying lives. It's about saving lives. It's about redeeming. Luke chapter 9 says, Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Look with me and keep your finger in John 8. Just slide back a few chapters to John chapter 3. What is the purpose? Why does God show mercy? It's because he wants to save. He wants to redeem. John chapter 3, look at 17 and 18 with me. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on, O-N, not I-N, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And slide down to verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Hey, the reason mercy is saved. As we could go through this room, we could go back through the history of the church of almost 2,000 years, and we could pick men and women out of every area, out of every country, out of every facet of life, and we could see sinners that were lost, and their lives were in ruin, and they were going to hell, and God saved. And God turned them around and God gave them a life to live for him. I'll tell you, the greatest day of my life was the day I got saved by the grace of God. God took a 22-year-old pot-smoking hippie and saved him, converted him, picked him up and turned him around and set my feet on that solid rock. He put a new song down. Heart, and he established my goings. And now I'm here 44 years later. Thank God for a life that I got to live. I got to live. I didn't have a destructive life. I had a life that I could live for Jesus Christ. Woo! And it just gets tweeter and tweeter all the time. Man, when you got as many aches and pains and groans as I got, you really look forward to the rapture, amen? Then what are you getting at? Why does God show mercy? Because he wants to save men's lives. Man, you're already, hey, if you're not saved, you're already condemned. The Bible says right there, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Okay, I know Daniel is a Christian. I know he's been born again. But let's 17 the wrath of God would abide on a lost sinner, William. Doesn't matter age or sex or country or color or anything like that. Doesn't matter how you were brought up. If you're not saved, the God already abides on you. You're on your way to hell just like a ball bearing going down a metal plank. But he doesn't want you to go to hell. He took your sins. He took my sins. Sins of the world. On his own body. He hung on that cross. He knew no sin. Became sin for us. There's the judgment. There's the penalty that God demanded. He didn't demand it of you and I. He demanded it of his own son. The Lord Jesus. It is finished. What was finished? The atonement for the sins of the world. He shed his blood. Those Roman soldiers didn't kill Jesus. Those Jews didn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave up his life. A sacrifice for mankind. But that you could be saved by the grace of God and have a life that counts for Jesus. Why does he show mercy? Because it's part of his attributes. We were already condemned. You know what we need? We don't need a church membership. We don't need a baptism. We don't need to turn over a new leaf. We need to repent of our sins and by faith trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now here's another good question. How much mercy is there with God? You know, I have talked to people over 43 years of pastoring and it's too far gone to be saved. Look up here. That is a lie of the devil. You got a thief on both sides of the Lord up at Calvary. Those guys are just a few hours from dying and gone to hell. One thief, he can't join a church. The one thief, he can't get baptized. The other thief, he can't serve for the Lord. They can't do nothing there. And what's he do? He trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Buddy, that's pretty far gone to be hanging on the cross just a few hours from splitting hell wide open. A life of murder, a life of stealing, a life of breaking people's hearts and on their way to hell. How much mercy is there with God? Well, you know what? Under the law, there was no sacrifice for adultery. It's just the death penalty. You go back and study the sacrifices under the Old Testament law for stealing, whatever sin that you want to talk about, there was a sacrifice. You know, you could get pigeons, you could get doves, you could do an ox, you could do a lamb. Are y'all with me? Under that law, there is no sacrifice for adultery, and there's no sacrifice for murder. It was just the condemnation of God. And under that Old Testament law, you have that king, David. You know what David did? And he committed murder. The two sins, William, for which there are no sacrifice, and yet God, what? God had mercy on David, even under the Old Testament law, where that death penalty was established. How much mercy is there now? Who's that murderer? Son of Sam. Is that who it was in New York? Do y'all it was Berkowitz. Do y'all remember back in the 80s? Berkowitz was the scourge of New York City. I forget how many people that he murdered. He had the whole city of New York was under alert. And this man, Berkowitz, he said he played with Satanology. He said that he was possessed by evil spirits, and he murdered. I forget how many. I have two of his tracts at home. Well, he was finally caught, and he was convicted, and he was given life in convicted sometime in the late murdering man. This was a man that was possessed of evil spirits, possessed of devils, and put a scare in a whole city of America and murdered untold number of people. New York and preached. And Berkowitz got under conviction. Berkowitz went forward. He repented of his sin and he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. A murderer. A man who had put other people in the ground. A man that had been possessed of unclean spirit. You say, how much mercy is there available? As much as you need. Brother, y'all know Brother Travis Berkowitz. Now you understand, they try to commercialize Berkowitz's testimony. So he's very, very careful who he answers and how he answers them. Brother Berkowitz is up for parole a few years back. You know what he did? He said, I don't want to do it. He said, I am guilty of murder. I deserve to spend the rest of my life in prison. And he says, God has put me there. And he has won a lot of convicts to the Lord. He's been interviewed by national television networks in America and had the opportunity to give his testimony of trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. You said, what are you getting at? How much mercy does God have? He has however much mercy you need to have your sins forgiven and to have a new life in Jesus Christ. Anytime somebody says, well, you know, I'm too far gone to be saved, and, you know, I've done so many ways. No. That's just the devil trying to lie to you and deceive you to keep you from coming to know the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord's mercy endureth forever. The Lord's mercy is infinite. It's without limits. It's save them that come to God to the uttermost. Under the law, there was none there. That mercy of God is very far-reaching. It'll reach the lowest sinner. And I tell you, this woman, she was far, far away from God. But the truth of the matter is, we all need God's mercy. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven when you die, you need the mercy of God. Your good works, your religion, your church membership, your baptism, that is not going to get you into heaven. You need to repent of your sins and by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how young you are. I don't care if your mom and daddy are saved. That's not good enough for you to be saved. Ye must be born again, or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We all need the mercy of God. There is no difference. Say amen right there. The Lord wanted them all to know that they were in just as much trouble as that woman was in. They thought they were righteous. They thought they were better than her. But the Lord is trying to let them know, you're in the same condition. You're damned. You're condemned to die and go to hell. God wanted them to know the mercy of the Lord. Well, you know what he said? With those of you that be without sin, you cast the first stone. But it didn't take the older one very long to realize what? Man, I got plenty of sin. He went right down to the youngest, and what did they know? They knew that they had sin. The oldest knew. They just had been caught like this woman had been caught. The word of God, you know what it'll do to a sinner? It'll humble them. If that book doesn't humble you, you're not a candidate to get saved. Hey, God's not going to save a proud man. God's not going to save a proud woman. Somebody who thinks they can go it on their own. Someone who thinks they can earn their own way to heaven. No. You got to humble yourself and come before God by the grace of God. And then what is the source of God's mercy? Look there at verse number. I'm back in John chapter 8. And look at verse number 9 with me. The source of God's mercy. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he saith unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, what? Lord. The source of God's mercy is the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go anywhere else to find mercy that will save your soul and get you to heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. But you know what? You can be being a Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. You must be born again. I don't care if you were baptized 14 times, standing on your head, whistling Dixie. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. You must be born again, or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But once, you're going to die twice. You get born twice, you're only going to die once. Talking about the second death. The Savior can't go anywhere else. At last, the woman, she's all by herself, just her and the Lord. You know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to shame And the devil wants to destroy lives. Okay, I was the oldest of 7 children in a Roman Catholic family. Listen, there's a lot of thoughts. I was so lucky to be born into a Catholic family because everybody else has gone to hell. That's what the Catholics taught me. Everybody else. An altar boy, but he hit 15, 16, 17 years old, skidded out into that world. That world just sucked me in. And the devil just cracked his whip over me. I was out in the devil's fields doing the devil's work, and he was wearing me out. About all the good times I would have, all the fun I would have, all that, and he's a liar! The wage of sin is... Buddy, I was lost. I was without God. I had no peace in my heart. Every human being has an empty spot. Elizabeth, every human being has an empty spot. Tried dope and liquor and transcendental meditation and gurus and yoga and whatever else there is, don't try it because I got that empty spot. Only Jesus Christ can give you the peace of God that passes all understanding. 22 years old, sorry dope head, on my way to hell, ruining my life. Already got picked up. The Lord came by my way. I wasn't looking for God. He came looking for me. But he saved me. There was that life, 22 years old, wicked, on the way to hell, to destruction. Not just hell, but a life wasted. Had a brother. We were only 13 months apart. He was fixing to get married. Miss Nan and I, we just got married. Buddy, I went to my brother. I said, Don, I got saved by the grace of God. I said, Don, the Bible says if you don't get saved, you're going to burn in hell. I said, Don, that Roman Catholic religion been lying to us all these years. I said, Don, only Jesus can save. Sort of got mad at me. Cussed me out a little bit. Sort of an embarrassing scene in a restaurant. Well, I didn't cuss. But you know what? Don was purposed in his heart that he was going to make a lot of money. And he was a good businessman. But you know, he had some habits, some bad habits. One of them was liquor. Don just always had that problem with liquor. It just got worse. He had 3 wives. He had an adopted daughter. He had 2 stepchildren. He lost some money because of bad decisions when he was drunk. He had bad marriages because he was drunk all the time and abusing those women and those kids and stuff like that. When he died, they said he was worth $5 million. When they took him to the hospital, his blood alcohol content was 4 point something. They pull you over on the side of the road and you're 0.08, you're going to jail. My brother's was 4 point. You understand the magnitude of that? So what are you getting at? That devil destroyed my brother's life. That devil lied to my brother, told him about success, and told him about money, and told him about mansions, and told him about boats, and told him about this, and he bit into that. He rejected Jesus Christ. Christ doesn't come to destroy lives. He comes to save lives. Don went through 3 wives in that time. By the grace of God, I'm still married to the same one, and I'm telling you, it gets sweeter and sweeter all the time. Hey, by the grace of God, I don't have any habits that are eating my body up. I mean, by the grace of God, I've got to preach around the world. I've got to pastor some of the finest Christians this side of heaven. My life has counted for Christ. Travis came up to me. We were talking at the meeting. Travis says, you remember that first time I came to your family meeting up there in New York? I said, Travis, to be honest with you, I hardly remember yesterday. He said, buddy, I was just a young father. He said, you preached on training children and bringing children up. He said, I want you to know that really helped me. I got to help people. I've preached down in Mexico and people have got saved. I've got to preach in Papua New Guinea. I've got to pastor you people. You all, God doesn't come to destroy. Save men's. Think about some of you young people. Some of you young people have done more for God in your short lifetime than I ever got to do with those years that you. And you can build on that, and you can go forward with that by the grace of God. The effect, the source of God's mercy is the Savior. He's the only source of mercy. He's our advocate, 1 John chapter 2 says. He said, what's an advocate? That's somebody go to bat for you. Huh? Devil comes up and calls out your name, Lori. And he presents himself before God. Doesn't the book of Job say that? And you know, how about if the Lord goes, hey, have you considered my servant, Lori Angus? The devil goes, she's just a wicked sinner. He says, that's funny. When I look at her, I just see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I just see the blood of Christ cleanses away all her sin. She's my child. He's an advocate. My advocate goes back for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only is he our advocate, he's our mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord was judged in our place. Why? So we could go. Great story, illustration. Barabbas was condemned to die and be crucified with those two thieves, was he not? He was a murderer. He was guilty of surrection. He was going to die on the cross. The Roman emperor, he said, you can have Barabbas or you can have Jesus. And they said, we want you to crucify Jesus. And Barabbas should have died because Christ took his place. Christ took our place. I'm scared of dying. Now, I'd rather not suffer very much. I mean, my first preference is that the Lord would blow that trumpet this morning, and we're gone. Now, some of you get left back. The keys to my car are in my wife's purse. The keys to the house. You can have the house. You can have the car. You can have my bank accounts. You won't get nothing there, but you can have them. I'll be in heaven with the Lord. And there's no toll to pay. And St. Pete is not at the gate to let you in. The Lord Jesus is there waiting for his bride to come. Those wounded hands reached out. Hallelujah. Took my place so I could go free. Well, what's the effect of God's mercy? There should be an effect. Look at verse 11 again. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and what? Sin. No more. Go and sin. My Bible says in Corinthians, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, I was a hippie. I was going this way. I listened to hippie music. I did hippie things. I dressed like a hippie. I talked like a hippie. I lived like a hippie. Buddy, when I got saved, he turned me around. And I started going on that right path. And I mean, it didn't happen overnight. But I started talking like a Christian. Instead of cussing and taking the Lord's name, I started saying, praise the Lord. The first church, Francesca, was Bible Baptist in Westchester. Okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. And I don't want anybody to take offense. But it was a very quiet place. I went off to Bible school and I came back and visited that church on a Sunday morning. And there was a black couple sitting about four rows back. And like I said, that was a quiet place, sort of like the Catholic Church. But Pastor Griffith got to preaching and that black man, Jerry, he goes, amen! Well, when he said that in my heart, the Holy Ghost says, amen, that's good preaching. But I'd never been around anybody that shouted or amen in church. Well, he gets, listen, you amen a preacher when he's preaching, that's like throwing a lamb chop to a bulldog. You know what I'm talking about? Well, he just got fired up, and he gets the nail on it again, and that black man again goes, amen, preacher, preach it. And in my heart, the Holy Ghost was saying, yeah, preach it. after him, amen, in three or four times, he hit a point, and I go, amen. Boy, that felt so good. But he got hit, and I'm telling you, when I started getting the shout in the house of God. We can go to a funeral service down at the funeral home. Shouldn't go to church and have a funeral service. Man, I remember when I first started preaching, those poor people, they were just babies in the Lord. They didn't know to pay them to say amen to me. So what are you getting about? Something should take place. And it's supernatural. Your want-tos change. Oh, to go to church. That's where the... After I got saved, buddy, I was addicted. I got addicted to preaching. I got addicted to that singing. I got addicted to God's fellowship with God's people. Hallelujah. Yeah, it changed. Whole life changed. Man. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you. Me and this, we had dated for 2 years, and I know dating's not scriptural, but that's what we did because we were sinners. Sinners. We were lost. And I got saved, and... We dated, and I tried to talk to her about the Lord. Tell them what you said the first time I told you about Jesus. Tell them. Did y'all hear that? Say it loud. That's what she said to me, Jerry. I told her, I said, hey, I got saved tonight. This guy told me about the Lord. He goes, why is Jesus coming to my heart? I'm going to heaven when I die. You know what she said, Jerry? She goes, I don't even want to hear it. Now, for 2 years... We dated. I was into transcendental meditation. I was into gurus. I was into dope. When it came around, that's what I did. That's what she saw. Well, Bob, the night I got saved, he gave me a handful of tracts. I didn't know what tracts were. I said, what's this? He says, these are gospel tracts. He said, give them to people. They'll read them. They'll tell them about Jesus. So in her apartment, I would lay down a tract in her kitchen. I'd lay down a tract in her living room. I'd lay down a tract in her bathroom. I'd sneak into her bedroom and lay a tract down there. And I came back the next time, I checked my traps. And you know what she did? She picked up those tracks and read them, but put them down exactly the way I had put them down. So she didn't think, so I wouldn't think that she picked them up. We were on a date that first Saturday night. I said, hey, I'm going to church in the morning. You want to go? She goes, you're what? I said, in the church, you can't go to church, you gotta work. And I did work. I said, but Bucky, that was my boss, he found out I got saved and he came up to me today before I got off and he said, Mike, if you want to take off a couple hours to go to church tomorrow morning, go ahead. So I did. She goes, you're going to church? 2 years. The only time we went to church was for a funeral or a wedding. Couldn't you say amen to that? She goes, you're going to church? I said, yeah, you want to go with me? She goes, yeah, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And so she met me at the church. I left work and went to church. 2 weeks later, she bowed her head and she said, Lord, whatever you did for Mike, would you do that for me? Look at me. There ought to be a change when you get saved. And not just what you think, others around you, that you're different. So what is that? That's the mercy of God at work. That's what the mercy of God, that's the effect of God's mercy on us. We're not just getting off the hook. We didn't just get a fire insurance policy to get out of hell. We got a life in Jesus Christ to live for Him. We're not going back and living anywhere we want to live. We're new creatures, so we're going to live for Him, that He gets the glory and He gets the honor out of our lives. Talking about conversion. But you know what the Lord did? He made her free. She was free from the judgment of her sins. Listen to me. She was free from the power of her sins. And I had a bunch of outward sins, a bunch of inward sins. But you know, every human being, they have some degree of character. Some. I had enough character to give up smoking cigarettes, and I had enough character to stop drinking liquor, and I had enough character to stop drinking. But I had some other habits that I wasn't able to break. Man, those people who took us under their wing, Rob and Claudia Fogg, they took that Bible and they showed me Philippians. Help me here. I just drew a blank. Fourth, 13. I, thank you. 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I told him, I said, Lord, I can't give this up. I have tried and I have failed. I said, but these people showed me your book that I can have victory through you. So Lord, you're going to have to give me. And you know what he did? He set me free. He gave me the victory. We all have temptation. Your temptations might not be my temptations, but we all are flesh and blood. Grace of God, because of that mercy of God, we can be delivered from our sins. So she was freed from the judgment of her sins. She was freed from the power of her sins. She was freed from that sin dominating and running her life. She had a reason to live now, and it was for the glory of God. She could live for the Lord. I remember sitting in that church. My favorite services were Sunday night services. It just seemed like there was more God there on Sunday night than any other time. Pastor Griffith would preach. The singers would sing. The fellowshipping was great. I just loved those Sunday night services. And it was a Sunday night service. The man of God preached that God had a plan. And God had a will for your life. And listen to me. Nathaniel, my hair was still long. My dress was still wrong. I still had issues in my life. He spoke to my heart. And he said, you're saved. He says, you're going to go to heaven when you die. But Mike, I've got a plan for you. And I bowed my head and I said, Lord, preacher said, you have a plan, you have a will for me, I want to give you my life. I'm 22, I have made a mess of my life, and I did. He said, but I'm going to give you regrets about.